Fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Mithridatic War, Background, Part 3. Mithridates, while searching for a way he could regain control of Cappadocia, while at the same time avoiding a clash with Rome, finally came up with a very interesting idea. Tigranes, the king of Armenia, was married to one of Mithridates' daughters. So the Armenian army, acting on Mithridates' plan, would and did invade Cappadocia and conquer it, forcing Ariobarzanes to flee. Mithridates then simply had the Armenians install one of Mithridates' stooges as a puppet ruler. Unfortunately, Rome wasn't fooled and decided to send a stern message to Pontus. 95 BC, Lucius Cornelius Sulla was made Roman proconsul of Sicilia. As he was on his way to engage the Sicilian pirates, Sulla visited Cappadocia in order to restore Ariobarzanes. But Sulla did not have enough manpower, as he only had one legion that was originally provided to deal with the pirates. The Roman Senate did not allocate additional resources. So how could Sulla accomplish his task? Well, Sulla created his own army. His army was made up of, first of all, auxiliaries from Pergamum, secondly, levies from Bithynia, and third, troops still loyal to the displaced king of Cappadocia. Sulla defeated enough supporters of the Armenian occupation of Cappadocia that allowed Sulla to put Ariobarzanes back on the throne. The presence and the actions of Sulla were enough to make Mithridates back off from Cappadocia. Then, just as Mithridates was considering his options, news arrived of the death of King Nicomedes of Bithynia. Mithridates interpreted the death of Nicomedes as an opportunity to take over Bithynia by installing, yes, you guessed it, a puppet king named Socrates Crestus. It's the half-brother of the rightful heir, Nicomedes IV, Philopater. Almost out of thin air, Socrates raised an army of Pontic mercenaries big enough to take over Bithynia. The throne, and by force, Nicomedes IV, of course, forced him to flee. This didn't fool the Romans once again. The Roman principle of divide and rule was being constantly and effectively thwarted by Mithridates. Asia was once again in crisis. But in 91 BC, the Italian allies of Rome revolted in the so-called social wars. This new threat was far more serious to Rome than the Germanic invasion, the Cimbri et al. Had been. Anatolia, or Asia, would just have to wait. So Mithridates was lucky once again, but now he decided that he still wanted Cappadocia. So once again, Mithridates removed Ariobarzanes, and this time replaced him with one of his sons. During 90 BC, the social war was still raging, but the situation was no longer dire, with Rome making deals and having better military success. So the Roman Senate decided to send Manius Aquilus to Anatolia with one mission. That is simply to remove Mithridates' puppets in both Bithynia and Cappadocia. And of course, that would end the crisis. The father of Aquilus, also named Manius Aquilus, which should be the elder, was a man well known to Mithridates. In 130 BC, the elder Aquilus had headed a commission from Rome that favored the kingdom of Pontus in a territorial dispute after accepting a substantial bribe from Mithridates' father. So one would assume the news of young Aquilus's presence was well received by Mithridates, but that hope would quickly evaporate. Nicomedes IV learned from Aquilus that Rome's support wasn't going to be free. Nicomedes, owed Rome for supporting his return to the throne, and it was now time to pay that debt. First of all, Nicomedes had to borrow, at interest, a large amount of money, which, of course, was from Roman moneylenders and Roman businessmen. and of course at very high interest. And two, basically, Nicomedes was mortgaging his kingdom as well as his future. So overwhelmed by debt, Nicomedes became a Roman puppet. Aquillius ordered Nicomedes to raid the western Pontic port cities, to pillage them, and then use the loot to repay his Roman creditors. So that's great. You send the guy's army in, they do your dirty work, and you get all the loot. As the Bithynian army swept the Pontic territory, they encountered very little resistance. But Mithridates was well aware of the raids. What he had done was simply withdrawn the inhabitants from the cities to be attacked. And then Mithridates wanted to have a good cause to go to war with not just Bithynia, but with Rome. So he's kind of just letting things simmer and get a little worse so that he could use it to his advantage later. Well, Mithridates sent a diplomatic mission to Rome to make his case before the Senate. Of course, he knew it was going to fail, but that simply allowed him to have the grounds to declare war. And not only that, but as far as the Asians and Anatolians and eventually the Greeks would see, the high ground. He had tried, quote, everything, unquote, to satisfy the Romans and was simply unsuccessful. So going to war with Rome was just something he had to do. So this will begin. Now, this is what's going to happen here, is he's going to start the war, and then there'll be a lull. It'll be kind of stopped a little bit. And then you have the civil war between Marius and Sulla. And then things go on back there. And then eventually we go back and have some more Mithridatic war. So the Mithridatic war is going to start. Then we're going to have a lull in between. Then it's going to start again. And then the kingdom will be taken over by the Romans. Now, the sources for this, Mithridates and the Pontic Kingdom by Hoste, and that's spelled H-O-S-T-E, Foreign Policy with Mithridates the Sixth Eupator, King of Pontus by Lindau, and the Ancient Warfare Magazine, Volume 10, Issue 3 on Mithridates. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, if I'm not sure if that section's done yet. But and then, of course, as always, please feel free to support us. It's a new year, and we have new expenses. So thank you very much.